On this year's Bachelor in Paradise finale, Brandon and Serene's historic run ends with championship rings. Victoria says ciao to Johnny and ciao to Greg. Michael and Danielle say they're in love, and there's no love lost between Logan and Kate. Plus, how did this pursuit of love in the warm sands of paradise lead us to such an icy conclusion? It's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome to The Bachelor Zone.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and welcome back to The Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone for hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive speed dating experts. We got Zachary Pike.
Hello, Michael Wally. Hello, America. Hello, those outside of America who don't celebrate this weird holiday.
And Daniel A. Duddy.
Fuck you guys outside of America. No, just kidding. Wow. I love the international fans. In fact, I might love them more. So take that.
Look at that.
Take that, America.
Hot take.
We love all of you, and we're so happy that you joined us tonight, especially on this Thanksgiving Eve here. And if you think Thanksgiving dinner with your family is awkward, it had nothing on this finale last night, which was an extremely prickly, contentious affair. And like Thanksgiving, it gave us a lot to chew on. Let's jump right into it with our headlines brought to you by Wells Storytime. Got 15 minutes of airtime to kill? Smother it with Wells' Storytime. So in the spirit of Thanksgiving, we thought we'd try something different tonight where we'll do a potluck discussion for our headlines, where we each bring a topic about last night's finale that we are dying to talk about, and we'll bring it to the table. Starting with you, Zach, what is your burning topic from this finale?
So I brought to this delicious potluck, the smorgasbord that we're about to get into to cover this god-awful finale, in my opinion.
Wow, okay.
The question I posed to you gentlemen, is this the dawn of the age of the sweet boy or the end of it? All the sweet boys we had, and by sweet boy, I mean, of course, the nice guys, your Rodneys, your Andrews in some senses. Some would say after what happened last night, Johnny, Logan, even, weirdly enough, can fall into this camp. But the guys who are trying to maybe be extra careful or be extra nice to these ladies, and then the ladies not really having it, not really standing for it. I mean, obviously, it worked out in the case of Brendan this year, as a quintessential sweet boy in this case. I think he's probably even a better example if I'm trying to lay down the exact definition of what kind of sweet boy I'm talking about. But he's kind of looking back on it, to me, he's sort of the only one that really ran away with it because of that. I would have said Johnny too if it hadn't have been for what happened. And I don't know. I mean, we're probably going to discuss that more about whether or not that was all Victoria F's, issues and fault and Craig Rippo. Also, but
Craig,
I don't
Grippo.
Know. What do you guys
just
think?
Kidding. Keep going.
The grip. Grippo.
Do you guys think next season a bunch of guys are going to bring this sweet boy game, or if it's done now? They said that's not
sweet
worth
boy,
it.
Like the sweet potatoes of our meal. Is
that's kind of what I'm bringing.
What this is, Zach? Yeah, I love this question. I feel like, all right. So in the category of pros of sweet boys, we've got, you're saying Brandon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cons, you're saying, like, anti-sweet boys for the bad for sweet boys scoreboard, you're saying Johnny. I don't know if Johnny's a sweet boy. Like, is Neo from The Matrix a sweet boy, or is he just someone who doesn't talk? Like, that's how I picture Johnny.
Sure. I think it's sort of, the way I really thought of it was also Rodney's situation when he, and Logan's, when they brought that up, the whole saying to the women, hey, you guys do you. Like, we're 21st century people. I want you to, do whatever you want. I don't want to get mad because I'm a sweet boy, right? Like, I don't want to Hulk out, even if you maybe want me to in some toxic way. I'm not going to do it. You do whatever you want. Rodney, a perfect example of this, Duddy, just to clarify this even more. When Rodney, they had the little B-roll of Rodney and Eliza, and he was like, is this okay? Like, my arm around your shoulder? Like, that energy. Is what I'm talking about. And I don't know if that's going to stick around in paradise much more. Even Jacob kind of has it a little bit, even though he's,
See, I feel like that's the thing. I feel like everyone has sweet boy elements, right? Everyone can be a sweet boy. But before we answer this question, I think we have to figure out who the sweet boys are and who's running a sweet boy offense. Because I think Rodney for sure is. I think Brandon for sure is.
Yep.
I don't think Johnny necessarily is. I definitely don't think Logan is. Even if he is a good guy or a sweet guy, I don't think he's running a sweet boy offense necessarily. He could be running like an honest guy, you know, like he could be being true and genuine, you know?
I think we've got I feel like we've got three different avenues of sweet boy. First of all, there's the teddy bear offense. That is Brandon and that is Rodney, 1,000%.
Okay.
Then and on this particular season, there was the woman going to the man and saying, I want you to tell me that I should not go on this date. I want you to put my foot down and give me the ultimatum and say no. Rodney refused to do that. Logan refused to do that. I think it was the right move. It is a sweet boy move. And then finally, I think the third thing is the after-the-fact sweet boy, and that is sitting there on the hot seat couch thinking, oh, my God, I'm so heartbroken. Where did this all go wrong? I put my heart into this, and it blew up into my face. That is Rodney, and today that is Tyler, and that is Johnny. So I think those are kind of the sweet boys that we're dealing with from this season for different reasons, or a variety of reasons.
Right.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I weirdly and tentatively also throw Jacob a little bit into that, in that he didn't ever have a temper. Does that make sense? Like, he never got upset in a masculine way. Yeah. Like, he did weird, dumb, not sweet boy behavior, but it was sort of just from a dumb, nice place where he just an ignorant place. Like, he just didn't know what he wasn't thinking about the consequences necessarily. And when he was faced with that he had hurt somebody, he was very apologetic and very like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to do that. And exactly how he ended up with Jill last night, I think it was because of his, what I would call sweet boy behavior. It's because he came up and was honestly like, hey, I'm an idiot. I'm a dumb guy. That's what you partly like about me, but I'm a little puppy dog that'll just like lick your face whenever you want. And I'm actually a sweet boy. Like, I genuinely feel bad when I hurt people and I try my best not to, but I'm just so dumb.
Yeah.
But I am.
But then
where
does the sweet boy label end? Because then, like, I would even argue Aaron did like a what Zach just described was like Aaron's apology. It was just being like, I'm an idiot. I should have been better. I suck. Yeah.
You know what that is to me? So Dwight Howard just recently played his first game with a team in China, and he was draining three-pointers that game. And I thought to myself, I hope the people in the crowd enjoyed watching that, because that is the last time they'll see that. Because he's a terrible three-point shooter. That's not part of his game, but the sun shines on a dog's ass sometimes. Similarly, a guy's rotten to the core can occasionally be sweet, and that's we saw Aaron do that once this year.
Yeah, Aaron, I wouldn't put in that for what Raleigh just said. Also, there's some guys who are definitively not sweet guys. Obviously, your Haydens, those kinds of guys. I would say, what was his name? The big, tall fella who was sort of into Jill for a bit. Oh, I'm drawing a blank here.
Romeo.
In the split. No, other guy. Romeo's actually weirdly falls into sweet boy category for me as well, like the flavor.
He got the, yeah, I kind of see what you mean. He kind
of
got there.
Yeah, a little bit weirdly. I'm trying to think of the bad, you know, we can think of a lot of bad dudes who are not sweet
boys.
I think
if you're going to throw down the sweet boy label, it has to be, and I actually, I would put Romeo, I would say sweet boys, like Michael A is another sweet boy, right? And how
right.
I mean, he plays this game.
Absolutely.
I would say it's anyone who doesn't come on the beach with kind of like, who takes their cool guy card. And leaves at their door. Because otherwise, I feel like you could literally characterize every single player. Like, what player wins this game by being a total asshole? Like, if Sweet Boy is just someone who doesn't become a total asshole.
No, yeah, I see your issue right here, Duddy. It is. I'm trying to pull up the full cast list in front of my face because it's
yeah, like Hayden's season. Never going to win a championship. We know that. I guess it's the Aarons in between. Like,
so yeah, Alex. Alex is the name I was trying to pull earlier. Alex Budyakov is someone I consider, you would think, is maybe a sweet boy, but he's not.
You know who comes
Peter
to mind to, for
is
me too is
boy,
I'm thinking
Rick.
Back to last season with Riley. Yeah. As the season went on, it was revealed that he was a total sweetheart. Remember that? That speech that he gave to Marissa about, I dream about Sunday morning making pancakes for my daughter. That's very sweet stuff. But when he first entered the tournament, he barreled down those stairs like someone who was looking to beat up the biggest guy in the prison yard and said, like, I'm going to run this show. Here's how things are going to go from now on. So you can,
and I think, yeah.
So like multifaceted players like that who can work, you can kind of, it's rare to see a player like that though, isn't it? Who can work both sides to their advantage.
And it's rare to see an entire, so what we talked about last week with, with Kenny of like how chill all these guys have been and how like caring they all seem towards each other is sweet boy offense to me at its finest. Mm-hmm. Like they're not really that competitive. They're not really stealing folks at all. There was almost very few conventional steals this season, partly because of the sweet boy offense that I was talking about all season. And that's what I think of. Like the dawn of the sweet boys would be next season, even nicer guys, like just coming around, letting the women totally kind of to have control of it, for me, is sort of what it is. Also, guys who are really not trying to play the spread very much. That's why I am hesitant to give it fully to Logan. Yeah, just to define our terms even more. I see what you're saying, though, Duddy, in that the Venn diagram of guys who are not sweet boys who are also just garbage players and assholes is pretty circly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's true. I'll grant you that. I don't think sweet boy necessarily makes you like a good player right out the gate. Because there's also Rick Leach, I would consider maybe a sweet boy who was terrible at the game, right?
He just didn't get a chance to do anything, though.
Right, sure.
I'd say like maybe Romeo.
Yeah, Romeo's a good example of a sweet boy gone wrong, who can't really do his thing. James Bonstall, who was there, you know, Aaron's second man. Like, he gave me somewhat sweet boy vibes. Michael's a complicated situation because he's so generically sweet boy on paper and his game, but then I don't know, he something about him.
But outside of that world, he's the one of the slickest MFs in the business.
Yeah,
right now.
I don't know, man. I got really
no, but he's in this world, he's a sweet boy for sure.
Rodney, Duddy, just think of Rodney. When I'm saying sweet boy, is Rodney's style of offense dead after this season? It should be maybe just a question.
Okay, so we're looking at. As Rodney is like the ultimate perfect example of what you're saying.
Rodney's a perfect – Rodney and Brandon are the two perfect examples. Brandon of it going right and running the sweet boy offense, and Rodney of it going wrong and running the sweet boy offense to a T.
My answer to that is that the pendulum is swinging and that, the as was said in one of my favorite movies, the night is darkest just before the dawn, or in this case, the dawn of the sweet boy era. And here's what I mean by that. Earlier on this season when you had Aaron and Genevieve being very contentious with each other, getting in arguments, volatile – very not sweet. Genevieve's all upset. Eliza and Victoria pull her aside and they say, you know, when things get that contentious like that, that means that the person really cares. And they agreed on that. They were romanticizing volatility. They romanticized that. But now, on this day, the day before Thanksgiving, November 23rd, you've got Eliza and Kate, who are villains on social media right now, because their ultimatum that they gave to the sweet boys completely blew up in their face. And meanwhile, you got Rodney's, Logan's, Tyler's, even Johnny's, who are heroes on Twitter and Instagram right now. And so I think that is not lost on the players, that those three women who romanticized the bad boy, the Danny Zuko, they're losing today. They lost hard today.
Yeah, they didn't look good. And that was part of the refs. This, you know, the edit they got in this final, not after the final rose, this reunion ceremony that they had, which is crazy. It was decorated for Christmas, a paradise reunion ceremony that was fully had a full Christmas tree in it is something we shouldn't see again. But yeah, I agree with you 100%, Wally, that's in my book. I'm going to put myself down as the dawn of the sweet boy era is just beginning because of the backlash that happened after all the roses were handed out and after the rings were put on fingers and then returned to Neil Lane.
Yeah, I think that's what we're gonna see more sweetness next year, and the pendulum is gonna swing once again. That's gonna blow up in their face somehow, and then 2 years from now we're gonna see bad boys again.
And I totally agree with that assessment, Wally. And I would even argue, because eventually it will have to swing, because eventually we'll get so sick of the sweet boys, because eventually it'll be so. Because I think where the guys who it failed for, right? It failed for like the sweet boy offense didn't work because they didn't like establish themselves enough. I think Eliza is right, and you know, to say for her, Rodney didn't give her what she wanted, right? She put him in a shitty ultimatum and ultimately chose Justin and all this and went back and forth and blah blah blah. It was a total mess of a play. But you know, I do think eventually when you get so sweet, it'll go the other way. That said, Rodney did not have a bad season. You know what I mean? Yes. Did he win a championship?
No.
He did not. But he was top of the leaderboards all the way through, lasted all the way up until the end. smoocheria galore, you know, multiple partners. Like, this is not a failure of a season. Rodney has an amazing mindset where it's championship or bust. But you still, when you look back in history and go, what are the good teams of this season, of this year? You got to point to Rodney.
I totally agree with that. I think Rodney had a great season. And in fact, I think the only reason he's not coming up in MVP discussions is just because his season ended so soon. That just the minutes played, the number of games aren't there. But you take the output that he had in his time in the sand, if you extrapolate that over a full season, that's an all-timer.
Should we yeah, I agree. So Duddy, am I having you saying this is the end of the Sweet Boy era or the dawn of it?
Like, no,
subscribing to the pendulum?
Sorry if I was in it. Like, I think it's the dawn of the Sweet
Boy
era.
No, you weren't.
But
clear,
I think the Sweet Boy. I do not think the Sweet Boy era is forever. I agree with Wally's pendulum analogy.
You guys think it's like the House of Representatives, where it just kind of flip flops every couple of years?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Switches hands. Absolutely. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Sorry I took up so much time of this potluck. You guys were pretty full on my sweet yams. I don't know if we're going
to
have
that was a big dish, but I was happy to dig into it. Daddy, what are you bringing to the potluck tonight?
All right. Well, I have a few appetizers maybe some. So I want to know real quick, some quick ones, just quick thoughts.
Amuse-bouches?
Some amuse-bouche. Yeah. Like maybe this is just like, you know, a few sprigs of asparagus you put on your plate.
This is like the table that your aunt sets up with all the chips.
Yeah, okay, maybe this is some chips right here. Okay. I want to know what the frick happened with Victoria. I want to track this arc of Victoria Fuller from Peter season to then falling in love with Johnny to then back to Greg. What was this character arc here? Has she turned over a new leaf? Is she the same she always was?
I'll give you a character, Kaiser Sose. She completely fooled me. When she walked out on that stage last night in that black dress looking to kill, it reminded me of Kevin Spacey in Usual Suspects when suddenly he stopped limping outside of the police station. I thought to myself, oh my God, she fooled me. And I very rarely get fooled analyzing this show. But during Paradise, I really thought she had turned a new leaf. Last night, it was clear to me it's the same old scorched earth Victoria that we've always had. She for whatever reason, she thought it was to her advantage, but she played that down. But that's who she is. She's Chris Paul. That's who she is. She's a phenomenal talent. She'll be remembered as one of the all-time great point guards. She also kind of sucks in the playoffs and in the finals. And we saw both sides of that.
I mean,
she is who we thought she was.
I don't know.
You want to crown her ass, then crown her. She was who we thought she was.
She fooled me too. Like, she fooled me so much that before I saw that end episode, I remember her saying to Johnny, I love you, without hesitation, and thinking to myself, that's what true love is. Like, the thing she didn't have with Peter, she just didn't love him. But she loved Johnny. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, it made me think, like, you think it's the player, not the game. You don't think that there's any chance that you get outside of Paradise, she gave it her honest shot, and that maybe love just didn't work out for her. You think it was a ruse.
Yeah, I think because the way she came in. If they had just said that, if Johnny was there and Victoria hadn't shown up with Greg, and they would have said, like, it didn't really work out after the fact, I would have been like, yeah, that checks out. Victoria turned over a new leaf, but yeah, it's hard. Love's hard. And Paradise is a short amount of time, and then they got to, you know, West Hollywood together, and they're hanging out in the apartment all day and not getting along and, you know, not putting the toilet seat down, whatever it is that causes tension, and then the fights they have are bad. Yeah, I could see that, like, putting strain, and then she just says, it didn't work out. But the fact that she, like, did it in such a spectacularly villainous way makes me think that she hasn't changed. Do you know what I mean? Especially with all the off-field rumors and stuff we hear about her all the time, that we've been hearing all this guacamole for so long about her just being a, you know, for lack of a better term, homewrecker and all that stuff. I'm like, I can see her just pulling the villain card and being like, I'm bored. I'm going to go do what I do.
And it seems like the fan reaction today is overwhelmingly Team Johnny. I think that what happened is probably more complicated and layered than what we saw last night would lead us to believe. Even so, just looking at what was presented out there, I think she went after Greg way too soon.
Okay, so if Victoria is Kaiser Soze, here's my second part of this appetizer, amuse-bouche platter, whatever. Then who is Aaron? Because he felt like he put some, you know, some unusual suspects moves on Genevieve right there.
If Victoria's Kaiser Soze, then Aaron is the Joker, the devil, like just the worst.
Fugitive? No, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Are you saying moving forward in the world or just this throughout his arc in the seasons, Duddy? Are you asking the same question of Aaron as you were with Vic F, or just saying what's Aaron? Where does Aaron stand now?
Yeah, to me, I can't tell. I think my end question, I'll just cut to it with all this, is who's the bigger villain here is what I ultimately want to get at, Aaron or Victoria. I was actually pretty alarmed at Aaron's calm and how he broke up with Genevieve.
I agree.
That spooked me.
Yeah.
Really?
I totally agree with you. I am Victoria. I think last night she definitely established herself as a villain of the season, which was a drastic turn because a week ago I was considering nominating her for MVP at our Batchy Awards. But here's why I've got Aaron a little bit ahead of Victoria. With Victoria, I do think she really did see something with Johnny, and there was at least a part of her that wanted to try to make that work in the outside world. When Aaron pulled Genevieve aside and he said, "My gripe with you is how you walked away twice with your bags packed and I had to stop you in the jungle path." That was a legitimate complaint 2 weeks ago, right when she did it. But they talked about it and they worked through it, or so he led Genevieve to believe. But when he said that to her last night, that revealed that he was ready to give this up all along. And he was just stringing her along, so that he could get a 90s prom out of it, hang out with the guys in the pool, talk about the evolution of rats poolside for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to extend the vacation, and that became clear in that breakup with Genevieve. And because he strung her along like that, that is the biggest villain this season.
Wow. He just wanted to hang with the boys, guys. He just wanted to hang with the boys.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Go ahead.
To me, Aaron and Genevieve's relationship is sort of two negatives don't make a positive. Like, it's just, it's hard to put all the blame on one or the other because it was such a weirdly volatile, toxic thing, maybe. And the fact that they both just fought all the time and were terrible communicators with one another. I think when it comes down to who's the villain of the season, I'm going to tip it to Victoria F.
Wow.
For how she went down last night, just the way she was shot last night and everything, it was pretty obvious to me where I'm sitting. Aaron, I think, falls almost in the Jacob camp of he knows not what he does. Like, he's just kind of dumb. And I think they didn't really, like, he felt like, man, this relationship is super hard. How do I get out of it? I don't really know. Genuinely, I don't think he knew until he could find the words and figure it out. Maybe probably had a lot of coaching from the bullpen and his boys of like, hey man, she sucks. Like, just don't, or like, you guys suck together. You're both nice people individually and have really fun thoughts about evolution or whatever. But like, together you guys are a mess. So like, break it, shut it down. And I think it was probably hard for him to do that. So we made it, you know, last for a little longer. Did he want to hang out with the boys a little longer than normal? And got himself a rose. Yeah, but that's paradise, baby. That's what you do. There's lots of people who do that.
But Zach, his point of Parmesan with her was something that happened two episodes ago.
That's fine.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna throw the. It's not having a dalliance in Rome. You know.
I mean, I feel like also the problem with it to me, Zach, was in when he broke up with her. I mean, he said to her, There was no point of reconciliation, right? And there was no grace. There was almost like, I almost felt like she was bullied while he spit in her eye while he broke up with her. I think in his mind or in how he delivered it was, you know, him being, oh, you look beautiful. But that's just another way of saying, eh, fuck you. You know,
His style points were not, I'm not giving him style points. I mean, it was a messy situation, but I think it's out of dumbness. I don't think it's out of, out of genuine vitriol or lack of empathy, like maybe what Victoria F. is accused of doing was. Would it be?
48 hours ago.
The allegations are true.
48 hours ago, I might have agreed with that, Zach, but then we get this news that he was doping with not one but two different women back home on both sides of paradise.
Wow. Mm.
So
that's news to me. That's news to me. I haven't checked the boards today. Maybe that changes things.
Yeah, I mean, even before that news came out from Reality Steve, I was like, that's pretty shitty of Aaron to sit Genevieve down and be like, hey, remember that thing I said we were good about? Actually, we're not good. Not from my end, but looking real beautiful. Thanks for the good summer. Ciao. Like, screw you.
Yeah, I might. Well, okay. For right now, officially, what I can do is revoke his Sweet Boy card, his possible Sweet Boy card. His, like, application for Sweet Boy stuff is just denied. It's not even being processed anymore. But, yeah.
It's getting lost in the mail.
Well,
my favorite quote from him was, I wish this is going to work. I wish this was going to work, but I'm at peace with the fact that it didn't. Immediately. If you're at peace with the breakup during the breakup, you were never in it at all.
Right.
Right. But, I mean, I just don't think that is a villain move. I think that is, like, a dumb person move. Or someone who just, you know, is just immature or whatever. I don't think that's the same as, like, you know, consciously playing one character so that you... Well, I don't know. I guess it is sort of similar. You guys are convincing me the more we argue about this, but I...
But I could argue the other side of it, too. Like, I feel like, you know...
They're both
fucking Aaron both said chow, but Victoria tattooed chow. Like, I think there's something more sinister about taking someone off the beach and, you know,
right.
Something more cruel about that. But here's where I also now I'm now flip-flopping the other way. If there's one person in Bachelor Nation that you don't want to see your Siggo end up with, it's Greg fucking Grippo.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that just imagine like the energy and the vibes of them in Rome, like let's meet for a drink in Rome, first of all, that chaotic behavior, but then getting matching tattoos of like something so dumb is there's some other stuff going on under all that.
Right.
Like, they got some, there's some bigger fish being fried in that kitchen than Victoria just being like, you know, insensitively quick to rebound. You know what I mean? There's some weird shit going on with all that.
Here, and sorry Greg I didn't like, love you. Here's behavior. My new boyfriend, yeah. Lex Luthor.
Yeah, and we got matching tattoos that say kryptonite. Like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. Yeah, it was scary.
And Greg's so excited. He's like, they say ciao. They're Italian for hi, as if we didn't know that. Yeah. And I was like, by the way, Greg, they're also Italian for bye. So just something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
As you continue to date this new villain who's scorched a lot of earth at her time on The Bachelor. I think these are both two really good candidates. I think it's basically a jump ball and it could go either way. And the way I see it is that we in fans in Bachelor Nation and us pundits who break down the game, we have a social contract with the players where you don't always have to be playing quote unquote for the right reasons. We'll forgive wrong reasons, but we'll forgive it if your story makes sense and if your timelines add up. With both Aaron and Victoria, the timeline isn't timelining.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree fully. I mean, Data posted a really vivid, you know, image of it. It is tight, that turnaround.
A little too
like
tight.
They had to have had serious problems for about a week or two, and then immediately she would have started courting Greg. I mean, I wish we had the power over the federal government. We could look at these actual Instagram receipts of like when these DMs got.
I have one more appetizer actually to this point, Wally.
Okay.
Oh, yummy.
So that said, Shanae, is she a villain because she told Joey that he was too young for her? His age doesn't change.
Yeah.
I'd argue no. I'd argue she's someone who I'm totally fine with not being there for the right reasons.
That was certainly a sideswipe on her part. She should not have accepted the rose the night before if she felt that way. She even admitted that she didn't handle that as well as she could have. But the net result, like when I, a year from now, when I think back on Shanae's season, I'm not going to think of her as a villain. And the reason is because even though it ended on kind of a sour note where she sideswiped him, the overall arc that I think of is that she really turned things around. Because at the end of her time on Clayton season, reputation-wise, things could not have been worse. And she came a really long way. She became a palatable player. We've been talking for the last 10 minutes about biggest villain this season. Her name hasn't come up once. Going into this, do you guys think that would have been the case at the end of the season? I would not have thought that.
Absolutely not. I mean, they didn't think that when they made the junkets at the beginning, right? Like, her whole vibe was that she's going to burn paradise down. She's going to come in and just tear it up. I like Shanae. I've come to like her too. I didn't necessarily hate her. I thought she was a wildly, aggressive and sane player in her season. But what she did in Paradise was like kind of fun and refreshing. And what she did to the twins, we'll talk about it more later. I thought it was just silly. It wasn't. It was like playfully dumb. And I kind of feel for the guys, but also they're a good example of maybe sweet boy offense not paying off either.
I think she handled Joey with the grace that, you know, you look at, so what, Joey's 24?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Johnny's 25?
Mm-hmm.
But Victoria's, Victoria's, she's close to 30 now, and Shanae's 30.
Yeah. You know, I think Victoria
that was sort of the argument too.
Wasn't clear. You know, she did bring up the age at one point. But I think Shanae kind of let the parameters be set that this is a fun dalliance. We're here. We're enjoying each other. This is a, what we've got going right now is a fucking Mrs. Robinson thing. This is The Graduate. You know, we're never going to end up together. Right. And that's
right.
This stays in paradise. Paradise is over. Joey, I'm almost like, hey man, like she's trying to, this is the wake up call. But Victoria never woke up until it was too late. And she never woke Johnny up. And she knew all along. So I actually, you could tell Shanae was hurt by the fact that Joey didn't get what was obvious to everyone else. That this wasn't going to happen. Right.
And I think she said some things that are unfair. She was like, oh, like you just want to be a TikTok star. And he's like, I don't even have a TikTok. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was funny. I felt bad for him in that moment. I was like, man. I mean, obviously, it made Joey look a little better. Like, it made, if anything, Shanae look a little bad. Joey look a little good. The response of just like, I'm kind of insulted. I like the fact that Joey was standing up for himself. Like, he's not just like a novelty player because of his twin, right? Like, he was actually like, hey, I'm a grown man. Like, I don't have a TikTok, you fucking weird. Like, I have a job. Like,
but he's
like, it's insulting what you're saying right now. Yeah.
I see both sides. Yes. I don't know, but I feel like what she said, yes, she was right. He didn't have his own
place. I mean,
place.
They probably had more conversations. Yeah. They were having conversations probably that we weren't seeing on camera that made her say that, because I don't think Shanae would just throw those allegations out there if there wasn't some basis in reality, right?
You don't want to be a novelty player. Don't end your limo trip or your SUV trip with, oh, I'm looking forward to Sunday sauce.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Get your own place. Grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be heartbroken by Victoria and be Johnny.
She's like, you live with your mother still. And he's like, yeah, but have you tried her gravy on a Sunday? Come on, you'd live with her too.
Sweet Italian boy. I don't know. Yeah. I really, the twins also had a great hero arc for me. I like the fact that Flo didn't even really show Flo shutting her
down.
Yeah.
I love
the
high five.
That conversation was about 3.2 seconds. It was great.
It's great. Flo's great. I love that they were probably like, oh, do you want to continue? She's like, no. She's super Dutch, right? She probably had a really Dutch explanation for everything. And they were just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
And actually, that's why part of why I'm willing to forgive Shanae a little bit more, like, even though it's kind of ugly how she did it. But when they first sit down, I don't know how you guys feel, but I was like, oh, she's totally going to break up with him right now, right? Like, we all see this coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it was everyone except Joey could see it at that point. Like, it was on the wall.
Right, right. See, to me, when you guys were making that argument earlier about Victoria, and then we'll drop this Victoria F talk and move on to the main course that Wally's offering. But I think when you're giving Aaron trouble for being a villain for sticking around with the roses, how is that different from what Flo did this season? Like, she knew she wasn't going to stay with the twin boy, but, like, she's like, whatever, I'm having a good time, you know? I get some more camera time, figure out my, like, you know, model work.
Never dropped the L bomb. Never talked about what's going to happen after. Never, you know, like, it was, yeah.
That's fair. I wish we saw more of their conversations because I'm fascinated by what they were. But yeah, yeah, I agree. I see your point there.
Definitely. I think that's the key there. Yeah, because with Flo and Justin, I thought to myself, this is a summer fling. That's where the stakes are.
It was cash the whole time.
Stakes
yeah,
are very low, casual. They're having a good time. And sometimes that's what Paradise is about. It's not what Paradise is about when yeah. you say you're falling in love with the person or that you are in love with the person.
Like right. They were clear about that. They were clear about that from the get-go, yeah. Yeah.
Here's what I want to talk about tonight. I'm fascinated by how speed dating has become like the World Cup, where
what dish did you bring, Daddy? what kind of dish is this?
Oh,
metaphor this.
I love my mom's mashed potatoes. So that's what I'll say. Okay. This is.
So we had no turkey.
Giving us just the potatoes.
I'm okay with that.
The turkey will be the turkey's the ad break.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Turkey's Manscaped. All right, let's get back into it.
My mom's mashed potatoes are my favorite, and so I'm going to kind of mash a couple ideas together and see what you guys think of it. So I love how speed dating is becoming like the World Cup in that extra time is the premium. It is all about that nebulous time that's built in at the end when the final buzzer sounds, and we say, no, but wait, it's still not over yet because we got a little bit more left on the clock. Just based on when time stopped earlier on, that has become a huge part of Paradise now, of the Bachelor Cinematic Universe in general. And we see that last night, and where we see it is making the leap too soon, being strategic about to get engaged or not get engaged. And I see getting engaged on Paradise, it's sort of like when somebody who's a freshman in college basketball deciding, should they be a one and done or should they stay in school? Occasionally you got players like Kevin Durant, where it's just so obvious that they should leave school as soon as they possibly can because they are ready for the NBA right here and now. That is Brandon and Serene. Getting engaged in this, like in the real world, that's ridiculous on that timeline. But in speed dating terms, you watch Brandon and Serene play dominant for the very first moment that they laid eyes on each other. And you say, okay, yeah, that's a couple that should make the leap. That should talk to Neil Lane and make this thing happen. Johnny and Victoria, on the other hand, they are someone who made the leap too soon, in my mind. In my opinion, if they had not gotten engaged, they would still be together today. I think there are some couples where it just puts so much pressure on them, on the outside world, because that's the toughest part, is the fifth quarter, the outside world. That's where a lot of the pressure lies. And that's basically what Victoria said about Johnny, was that the pressure got to be too much for him. And he kept saying, oh, I feel like I'm not good enough. That's where the problems began.
Mm-hmm. So you're asking us whether or not the ring here is something that should be thought of as maybe a high risk, no reward kind of thing.
I guess what
people should just start to avoid it if they can.
I guess what I'm asking is, do you see getting engaged or not as something where players are going to be a little more strategic about it in the future, seeing how badly Victoria and Johnny blew up?
No, I don't think so. Cause that, I mean, bad engagements is the meat and potatoes of the show, right? Like it's the backbone of it. Rushed engagements. Like that's kind of what the show is built on, almost premise wise. After it moved away from just like, let's get you with a hot rich guy. I think it is a matter of, I don't think that the ring necessarily caused them to split. I think it's maybe, if anything, it is a flammable liquid that you can pour on things and make it a little light up a little faster and speed things along, you know. But I don't see it being something that's going to change people's minds about whether or not they want to do it. Because in the other terms, like, and we'll talk about this more in a bit, Brendan and Serena is a good example of it going the other way too. I think if there wasn't that stakes, they could instantly throw on this weird hyperbolic love fest they got going on here. They would look silly, right? It would seem dumb what they were doing, the words they were saying, the tears they were shedding over like how pretty they were, which I have my own opinions about that I'm going to talk about in Left Unsaid today. But I think it's not going to change the game overall, if that's your question.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I feel like, I don't think getting engaged too soon is what sunk Victoria and Johnny. I think them not being the right fit for each other is what sunk Victoria and Johnny. And then probably Victoria not really being ready for marriage is what's going to sink Victoria and Greg Grippo. Or maybe she is, and then they just get divorced in 10 years, you know? Like, but I don't see her, like, I don't know, man. There's a lot she has to work through, probably. Or not. It seemed like she did work through some, but, yeah, I don't know if the engagement...
She's gotta figure
like,
out, yeah.
There's almost, honestly, this season, almost to me, was, like, more of an argument for them keeping engagement, because I actually kind of had the sense of, like, you know it when you see it, you know?
And if, right, like you did with Brandon and Serene.
Right. And like there was not a second, there was not a clip of Brandon being like, I don't know because, you know, your dad or this or that or you don't like this thing. Or Brandon from the get-go was like, yeah, this is the one for sure. I don't need any more convincing. And I don't think he ever is going to. And Serene... I think if that relationship ends, it's going to be on Serene's hand, but I don't know if she will either. So, you know, I think when you know, and we talked to, you know, friend of the show now, Kenny Brash, that's how he felt about Mari, you know, and granted those things were a little bit, more up in the air, but you know, once they settled in, you could tell there was not a second where it felt like it was in doubt. And, I think that honestly makes me want to get on Bachelor in Paradise and try to get engaged. I feel like it could work.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. I guess the reason that I bring it up is I feel like when we first started covering Paradise, it was either you get engaged or you walk away from each other. And there was very little in between. And maybe the show kind of mandated that. Then Dean comes back with his caravan and he sweeps Kaylin off her feet and takes her out of there early. And I think that got players thinking about the game differently and how they want to go about their strategy. And now you look at Michael and Danielle. They do not get engaged. They're still together today and very much in love with each other, as we saw on that couch. And I feel like players who go to the beach in the future saw that last night and said, okay, mental note. I don't necessarily have to make that. If you know, like with Brandon and Serene, then yeah, go for it. But if you're not 1,000% sure like they were, I think players are going to take note of what they saw with Michael and Danielle and see that as a success story and as a blueprint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you do have some latitude to do moves like that for sure. Like, but I think you have to earn those like Michael seemed to. I don't know, Wally. I think if the game changes, it's not going to change in this way. But I do think that they might do more, you know, swap people out in the middle of the show, you know? We didn't even talk... Well, maybe we can talk about other players in other categories, but I can't believe we haven't talked much about Tyler, you know?
Yeah.
That was very similar to the Victoria Johnny ending. I think the exact same thing happened. I saw a guy who was heartbroken and gave it his all, and I saw a woman dressed in black who was cold as ice about the whole thing.
You know what? I think if the Bachelor Zone has one message here, it's that women suck. And that's what we want you to go.
No.
Women will break your heart, and they cheat in the game of love. And that's expressly from Michael Wally, especially.
Those two particular women, not all women. Please, I want the show to stay on the air.
Yikes.
Well, that was a full Thanksgiving meal, and I'm feeling pretty sleepy and. Speaking of sleeping, the dirty little not-so-secret about the bedding aisle is that while cotton might be the most popular fabric for sheets, duvets, pillowcases, etc., it's also the most damaging for our planet. I mean, even organic cotton takes its toll. And so that's why I'm so happy to be able to tell you about our good friends at Etitude. That's like attitude, but with an E. What I love about Etitude sheets is that they're made from naturally organic bamboo. And so that means they're made without toxic chemicals, and they use 99% less water than cotton. Plus, they are silky soft, so in addition to being great for the environment, they're also great for your comfort level.
And you sleep good now.
You know, I've been playing a lot of video games late at night, and the fact that I can do that until like 3 in the morning and then still wake up next morning bright and early, fresh, and, you know, completely in it to win it, it's attitude, baby. These sheets just make me feel luxurious.
Yeah, if you're a hot sleeper, they wick away moisture, and ordering's no sweat off your back because you can try any attitude bedding for 30 nights, and if after a month you're not completely satisfied, not feeling what we're feeling, just having the greatest night's sleep and greatest time of our lives in those sheets, you can return it for a full refund. So there's nothing to lose. So right now, you can get 20% off your order plus free shipping when you visit etitude.com/zone3 and enter our promo code zone3. Remember, that's etitude as an ego attitude. Order today in perfect time for Black Friday for free shipping and 20% off your order at etitude.com/zone3, code zone3. So we're at the end of the season. So that means no Max Singer with the Fantasy Minute tonight. So let's get right into talking some swats, deflections, box outs, and down hard gritty defense with Steal of the Night.
This is the Steal of the Night.
Steal of the Night this week brought to you by Peeing in the Pool, a stream come true. So really prickly episode last night. Very contentious room. A lot of great defense being played. Zach, I'll start with you. Who gets your Steal of the Night for this finale?
You know, part of me kind of wanted to give it to my boy Tyler, but he got swatted down so aggressively when he tried to come to the defense of my boy Jason. But weirdly, it seems wrong not to, I don't know. I kind of just want to give it to the two twin stoppers because I've given it to the twins the last two or three weeks. And the fact that Flo and Shanae could come in and just put them down easy, you know, just like put those dual hit jobs on both of them and still got enough, you know, walked away looking clean in both senses. Maybe Shanae slightly less so, but like hardly, you know, she'll be back next year or the year after. I thought that was just good, you know, a good move of like, hey, we're stopping this. We're nipping it in the bud. And then also Greg Grippo, even though I feel terrible about it, just because, you know, that's fucked up. But hey, I mean, credit where credit's due. I mean, it was just a messy, dirty, terrible play. And I don't know if it's going to pay off in the long run, but the man did get a proper, horrible steal.
Yeah, I mean, the guy did pull it off. Zach, I think you should go on Paradise next season. And if the Twins are down there, you'll find your match with them because you clearly you're in love with these guys. I think that's your third week in a row.
It's wild how much they grew on me. You know what I mean?
I think you're going to have a marriage with them like the guy from Tiger King. What's his name? Gorgeous George. Something like that. Joe Exotic. You're gonna have a marriage with him.
Gorgeous
like Joe Exotic.
George.
I love Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous George is a boxer from the 30s. What are you talking about? Yeah, Joe Exotic. Yeah, I could have a Joe Exotic marriage with those two boys, with Joey and what's his name?
It's Justin.
Yeah. You gotta learn their names first, but I think you could pull it off with them.
I refuse to learn them.
The love is clearly there. DA, who gets your steal of the night this week?
I gotta give it to Victoria, actually, for being on the hot seat. It looked like I think it was Victoria. Someone was about to, and I think it was Tyler, was mid question, you know, and she immediately just went, shut up, and just kept going. And he did. And he, not a peep from him. He just got bitch smacked. So, that was a great steal if I've ever seen one, villain or not.
Yeah, because based on the conversation that Tyler and Johnny went on to have in the parking lot, I assume what was about to happen was that Tyler was going to come to Johnny's aid and say, well, wait a second, Victoria, what you're saying is not true. That's not exactly how it happened. And that would have been really bad for her. That would have made it a 2-on-1 fast break all of a sudden. And she didn't let that happen. She shut it down. She broke it up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's another great steal there. I'm going with Logan. First of all, showing up in that studio looking like Bruce Wayne the moment that he decided to become Batman. Like that look that he had going on was something else. That was incredible. And I really appreciate his defense in that Kate tried to go the route of, instead of taking full accountability for her actions and the things that she said on the show, the very nasty things she said, instead of being culpable for that, she tried to blame the edit. Mm-hmm. And I loved how he was having none of it and he made her pay dearly for it. Because first of all, she was like, oh, you know, the things that I said were out of pocket. That was meant to be in private company. And he immediately just said that we're on camera the entire time. There are cameras all over. There isn't a single palapa that doesn't have a camera underneath it and we're mic'd.
You have a lav mic attached to your upside down bathing suit.
Exactly, yeah. So that shut down the whole, her argument of like, oh no, that was taken out of context, which was great defense. And then when he told the story of, you know what, Kate, you made fun of my job and that I don't make enough money. Let me tell you a little story, a little American tale about how I drove cross country and it took me a long time and it took a lot of hard work. But with that hard work, I got to where I wanted to be. And maybe the amount of money I make isn't good enough for you, but it should be because I am a working man and I went after my dream.
I, I put it down in my notes, and you know what? I'm changing my vote to what you just said, Wally, because absolutely, 100%. I said, is Logan the working class hero of our generation? Yeah. Like, I was lukewarm on Logan at best. Like, I thought he was kind of a putz in a lot of ways. When he did that speech last night, I jumped up and gave a standing ovation. And was like, yeah, I started singing the International. Like, I was, like, truly inspired by the fact that he was so down to just, like, shove all that terrible, like, bourgeoisie energy back in Kate's face and be like, screw you, you West Side freak. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm a working person. That's, like, you know, 90% of the population is like me, you know? Yeah. Sorry, I can't fill one of the weird gaudy mansions you're trying to sell all the time. Like, I'm out here trying to actually work a job.
What does he do? He's a camera operator?
I think now he's actually trying to be a cameraman. Yeah, like, he's doing some kind of filmmaking stuff. So I'm assuming he's maybe writing.
Yeah, something with photography. He said something about Hollywood dreams. There's a little bit of music on the side with him, too.
Which is, I mean, literally all three of us.
Right.
Like, and everyone also like, on just, like, that show.
Mixing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Logan is all of us. Yeah.
Most of the people in the audience, most of the people in America are working like two or three jobs trying to make ends meet and also do their creative stuff on the side. And the fact that she can like shit on everybody all the time when she doesn't have like a creative bone. I can't stand Kate.
Kate, actually, you know what? I mean, I can't believe I didn't bring her up in my villain talk because, man, if there's one person who I walked away actually truly despising, it was her.
Same. Yeah, I'd rather have dinner with Victoria F. than Kate.
I would definitely rather have dinner with Victoria F.
I know you would. I know you would.
Oh, boy. No, Kate, truly, I would walk across the street if I saw her walking down the street. I'd be like, no, I don't even want to have an interaction with this person.
Yeah, even when Logan offered her the rose and Kate rejected him in front of everybody, even that, I could see the wheels turning in her head of like, okay, what move can I make that will get me the most attention and that will get me the most favorable edit? You could see the wheels turning in her head. Every single thing she did was calculated. And
she gave a speech. Honestly, she reminded me of like, she was like evil Charlene, you know, like you could see her being so aware of the cameras, but whereas Charlene just passively was like, oh, this is weird. She was just like, no, I'm going to. Yes, exactly right, Wally.
That's what made me crazy about her from minute one. And I think if Mara was there longer, she would have seen it. You would have seen it from her too. People that are so aware that they're on the TV show and that they're there to prove something or do something that'll get them like noticed more or get people to like them more or sell whatever they're trying to sell. It just smelled on her ever since she got with Jacob. Like I was just like, oh, she's doing this because she wants to get an edit. Like she's editing in the camera. She's like, you know what I mean? Like how directors do it. Like she thinks she's doing it. And I'm so happy that the refs, with all their foibles this season, didn't let her have it. And they totally gave her a villain edit at the end when everything was said and done.
100%. And the fact that she is so aware of the show and that this is a show, it made it even more ridiculous when she tried to play the card of like, oh, you know, like I didn't realize I was on camera. Like, what is ridiculous? And the fact that Logan,
she said it loud. Yeah, she like said it like in a stage whisper when she said it. Like she said it to reach the back of the house when she was talking about, you know, sister, you know, my sister in Christ. This my sister in Christ. You know what I mean? Like she knew what she
was like my sister in Christ. End scene. Like and the fact that Logan shutting that down and standing up for the working man in the process. I wasn't the biggest Logan fan either. I have no idea why he was able to set the high water mark for dates this season or why he was such a quote unquote hot commodity. But that moment he won me over. And I think he won us all over. Yeah. And I think he ended Kate's speed dating career too.
Kate is what the majority of the country thinks of when they think of Los Angeles. And it's the wrong thing. Cause Los Angeles is really people like Logan and the guys who work like at the kitchen in Bachelor in Paradise. It's working people.
Say it, Zach.
It's working people from all over the world coming here with a dream of, even if it's small, meager dreams of just raising a family and having a home over their heads and just having a basic happy life like that, or someone who wants to create something. It's working people like that. And Kate is the exact opposite of that. And they make the city fucking miserable. And that's why I never go west of La Brea, because it's a bunch filled with a bunch of those monsters. But they're such a small minority. And I hate that the rest of the country thinks that's what we are.
I will say
that.
After all these steals, and sorry, Zach, that I cut off your speech about.
No, that was the end of rant.
It kind of just occurred to me that we all missed on what really should be the steal of the night. It's got to be Jacob stealing Jill.
Yeah. That was a lot of
fun. That was fun. It felt like that was for the fans. I don't know if that's actually going to amount to anything, but it was fun for sure.
All right. Cut out everything I just said. What's the next segment?
No, I'm not cutting out any of it because I think guys, I'm calling my shot. Jacob and Jill are going to be the longest lasting couple.
Wow.
You're just saying that because you don't want to edit this. That's what you're doing. I'm calling my shot.
Well,
I don't want to edit this segment.
Oh, well, now I have to because we, you know, I have to not edit it.
All right. Yeah.
Well, it's,
I had to be down on paper.
Before all that, Zach, you said how Kate makes the city miserable. Speaking of making a city miserable, we're going to hand out the keys to the city that nobody wants to go to in our next segment, Mayor of Choketown.
Hear ye, hear ye. I pronounce thee the Mayor of Choketown.
Mayor of Choketown brought to you this week by Matching Tattoos. Never forget your one-night stand. So a lot of pressure in this championship game. Not everyone handles it well. DA, I'll start with you. Who gets your keys to the city of Choketown in this finale, in this championship game?
I'd like to give it to Justin. Let me tell you why. even though we went through, and I think there's a lot of Choketown-worthy performances, you know, from Victoria and Greg's matching chow tattoos to Kate we just discussed to, you know, just everything else. But I think I want to give it to Justin because he kind of just let Rodney set the narrative. Rodney should have been the guy. Justin didn't really get any time to talk at all to say his side of the story, so he's completely out of the spotlight. He still doesn't get the girl. Just how do you, I don't know. I felt like the rule of you know, finales and after the final roses and all-star games was if your name is invoked, you get to speak up and talk. Right?
Right.
Why didn't he take that opportunity to say, like, hey, you know, yeah, I get it. You should have chose Rodney, but like, I'm a cool guy, right? Like, is there anyone else here who, you know, or do I just completely suck? Why was I, you know, kind of dumped twice? I will say this.
Yeah.
Justin was the only player, maybe in history, to have been eliminated, brought back, and then eliminated again.
Right. And then almost brought back again in Baltimore off the screen or away from the sand.
Yeah.
Yeah, He was like, for the amount that he participated, why didn't you just sit in the crowd with the rest of the people? He might as well have.
He's, if you think of it on paper, Duddy and Wally, what you just brought up, Duddy, Justin is maybe statistically, maybe we should bring data into this, is the first player in two seasons to have three eliminations and a self-elimination.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, theoretically, I mean, not even theoretically, like statistically, he's been eliminated four times. One of them being on his own accord.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's an incredible stat. I don't think that's a stat you want to have. That's like leading the league in interceptions. But
no. Yeah, it's wild.
But yeah, that is a rarity. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's like having the most safeties in the league ever, which I'm sure someone has. Like that's, yeah, it's not a good stat.
And Justin, with the lack of participation, he wasn't alone. I was kind of fascinated by how most of the players on that panel, Andrew particularly comes to mind. They looked like they were in pain being there. They looked like they wanted to be anywhere else in the world, but there.
Yeah, I think they were tired. I mean, literally, there's Christmas lights up, right?
Yeah,
they're trying to get home with their families, like before the, you know.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Depleted.
And we know it was shot last week. Yeah, because talking to Kenny, he was there. We saw him for a second. I was bummed we didn't get to hear more of their takes on everything. But the fact that it was last week. So this man, these guys have had a long time of dealing with all this drama, so they're probably just tired of it.
And who do you got for your keys to the city this week, Zach?
Well, so we've talked a lot of stuff about this. I'll segue into the fact that we were doing this with Christmas lights around us. The fact that this season lasted twice as long as it needed to, in my opinion. That there was a whole lot of just added nonsense. The split being part of it, in my opinion, it was an unsuccessful thing that I hope they don't do again.
Yeah.
It's just sort of an annoyance, if anything, because the rules were just not clearly, you know, they were trying to change the game in a creative and more interesting way. And all it did was just muddy the waters and make things annoying and more complicated and wasted 3 weeks of our life. Well, story time is we got to cut it out. We got to cut that out. But all this is leading up to my main point is that in this new Jesse Palma era ball, and we've been pretty soft on Jesse because he's getting his legs under him, whatever. And a lot of people can say, you know, he's not doing any harm at least. Last night, him teasing up the final penultimate commercial break with, you're gonna see Brennan and Serene do something that we've never seen in Paradise. It's gonna end differently than anything we've ever seen. Most dramatic, whatever. We're used to that kind of thing. But the fact that he promised something that was going to be different. And then he came and tried to do this marriage thing and it didn't work. So actually nothing happened differently. Yeah. It's infuriating. Infuriating to me that that went down like that. That he teased it up so thoroughly and then just like took it away from us. And it's like the fourth time this season that
he does it all the time. These promises right? that he can't deliver on. When he's like, I've got something coming up that'll change your life forever watching at home. Everyone here on TV is getting a free cruise and you're not.
Hey crew, yeah, let's drive out to Burbank on a Saturday and film me in an empty soundstage, so we can tease up something that almost doesn't matter. It's infuriating. It makes me crazy. We saw it all last season. I think that's got to change. And this is me putting in my notice right now that they need to tighten things up. In honor of the World Cup going on, the weird problematic World Cup going on in Qatar right now, I'm giving him a yellow card. We got to cut this out, Jesse.
Yeah, and frankly, he's lucky that he's not getting a red card. He's the king of empty promises. Mm-hmm. Been doing it for way too long now. It's time for him to make the leap. It was pathetic too, in the way he was hovering over their shoulder, like, okay, can I marry you right now? Can I marry you guys right now? No, buzz off. It's not gonna happen.
Get out of here. Yeah, it was obnoxious.
Yeah, he's got to step it up. That's a good nominee. I am going with Victoria F. Though, first of all, when she came out, sat next to Johnny, and she was just cold as ice, and. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like she didn't care about the relationship at all. And especially when she sat down and she like tapped him on the shoulder and she's like, first of all, how are you doing? You're doing good. Okay, good. Moving. I was like, that's so fake. And I think, and that was the moment that I knew that she's been faking this the whole time, that she was invested in this. And I think where she really blew it and where she earned my key to the city is that she's sitting there with Greg later on in the night, the crowd's really not having it. And she goes, I don't care what any of you think about this or think about me, because this is my man. And that is like a movie star saying, you know what? I don't really care what you think about my movies or if you come to my movies. Victoria, you are a competitive speed dater on national TV. The people sitting there in the crowd and the people watching at home, they are the reason that you have a career. And you're telling them that you don't.
And argue.
What's that?
Arguably that man he's talking about.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And you're going to say on national TV that you don't give a shit about what they think? She might not have a speed dating career after this either.
I 100% agree. Unless she causes enough drama with however she breaks up or cheats on Greg and, you know, talks smack about Katie. If she heckles Katie Thurston, it goes viral. Something like that. Like something crazy goes down and they can bring her in as like a true villain. Her only corner in this franchise is as the Cruella DeVille type villain now. I don't see her ever coming back.
I don't either. And I think to me, the big reason is I think she cheated.
Yeah. Frankly. Yeah.
I think she cheated. And I mean, her track record suggests, you know, back from Peter's season that she's a cheater. So,
yeah. I mean, I truly, I've been hesitant to call a duck and all that because of some of the allegations are on shaky footing, and it's, you know, I don't want to cast such serious aspersions. But after seeing what she did this season, I'm kind of like, yeah, that checks out. This all just checks out 100%.
Yeah,
she's a cheating.
Yeah, the homewrecker rumors that came out during Peter season, that to me that was all kind of gossip, and I never really got the hard evidence that I felt like I needed to.
Yeah.
To
a lot of circumstantial evidence now.
Yeah, but based on what we saw last night and the way she behaved, like, yeah, I agree with you guys. She cheated on Johnny. She gave Greg that phone call and snuck off to Italy with him way before she should have, based on the parameters of a relationship.
Or like Johnny was saying, she was emotionally cheating at least before for a while.
Yeah, that much is true.
Oh, yeah.
And my guess is, I don't know, again, you know, disclaimer, relationships are hard and all sorts of things, and you know, I don't think there's ever really truly any, like, you know, I think the villain hero dichotomy in relationships is not, even if one person is a monster and one person is not, and I think that happens, I don't think that serves anybody, right? And I think, you know, there probably is a lesson to be learned for Johnny from this. And, you know, I think Victoria pointing out that, you know, he felt insecure constantly. Maybe he felt insecure because it felt like she was going to cheat on him. You know, who knows? But
possibly.
I think all those things are really tough. But I do think, you know, sometimes you know, Greg Grippo, God bless you. But I feel like, you know, you're in for it, pal. You know, hold on tight, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to point out that what Johnny said to her, that's a very nasty thing to say, and it's unacceptable. But if you really love the guy, to end the whole thing over name calling, like to immediately look mm-hmm. for the next guy after that, like it really rubbed me wrong.
But that's not even, yeah. I bet the timeline wasn't that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mean to be doing mm-hmm. so much like, you know, helping, like, let's stand up for the man, and, you know, but like,
yeah,
you know. Whatever.
It did just, yeah, in this case, it just did look bad, yeah. So we got three different nominees for Mayor Choketown. But whoever we end up sending to Choketown, it is kind of a nice place this time of year because, after all, it is the holidays, when it's never too early to start playing holiday music, and it's also never too early to start thinking about gifts, whether it's for a boyfriend, a good friend, or the friend in your pants. You can make this a season to be jolly thanks to our good friends over at Manscaped. You can do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom. Then add in Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people singing at you, "All I want for Christmas is you."
Wally, we can't. Mariah Carey's going to come at us.
Oh, no. Please don't, Mariah. But please think about the fact that Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and use our code ZONE3 for free shipping and 20% off your entire order.
You know what we don't talk about a lot when it comes to these Manscaped products is the nose trimmer.
Oh, yeah.
The Love fact the nose that trimmer. This thing, my God, this Weed Whacker nose ear and hair trimmer featuring proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate presence. The fact that it's waterproof. The fact that we're getting old. And hair is coming out of weird places, yeah. In the ears, in the nose. And it's one of those things that it's something that is the first thing to fall, by the way. It's already hard enough for guys to get grooming. That's the last thing that you got.
You know, the nose.
And the fact that I can bust it out.
The nose mm-hmm. is kind of like the penis of the face, you know?
That's right. So I've always said that, yeah.
It makes sense that Manscaped would also have a fantastic nose trimmer.
100%. And you guys are seeing it. I got this lovely background.
Oh, yeah.
Nose is clean
Nostrils
as a whistle.
Looking good, buddy.
Clean as a whistle.
Thank but you. How are your balls?
Also great. Hold on 1 second.
They oh, check yeah, looking out. Good. They check out. Folks, get 20% off and free shipping with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code ZONE3. Manscaped. Get your jingle balls ready for the holidays.
So we've got a number of couples that, despite all the contentiousness from last night, are still together. Let's look in the crystal ball. Who's thriving? Who's merely surviving? And who's driving on the 710 to Pasadena? It's Ring Rosa Road. Ring Rosa Road, brought to you by Justin and Joey's Mom's House, now offering free bed and Sunday gravy. So we've got, looks like five total couples that ended up together after the dust cleared with this finale last night. Let's start with Jacob and Jill. Zach, are they playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
You heard it earlier. I said ring, baby. One of the biggest rings you've ever seen in this show's history. They're going to stick together. They're soulmates, is what I think. They're going to stick together till the end. Ain't nothing tearing them apart.
It seemed like it was just for fun for a moment of levity, but I hope you're right. They're a very fun match. Great entertainment.
Nah, they're going to be like, it's going to be like The Notebook.
I'd love for that prediction to come true. Up next, we've got Kira and Romeo. What do you think, DA? Ring Rose or Road?
Oh my God, the road, the road, the road. Here's the only reason why I could say potentially the Rose. Because that guy, his biggest problem, I think, was a lack of humility. And man, did he get humbled this season. The only way this guy keeps it going for a little bit to the point where he could even get a ring is him realizing, like, this is the best I can do. This is it. And I'm not straying. I'm going to be a good man. I'm going to be a Brandon and cherish my woman. That's his only shot. So I hope that the amount of humiliation he received this season keeps him on the straight and narrow. Otherwise, right.
I gotta say, though, on a night when no one was really looking happy to be there, he actually did look really happy sitting next to her.
Yeah, they seem to vibe, you know, like she definitely is wearing the pants these days or for the rest of his days. But I think the fact that he seems pretty content with that, and they're both such weirdos in the same kind of way, right? They have the same kind of weird, ultra intelligent, but kind of aloof energy that I don't know. I could see it happening.
Yeah, they're.
I give him a little more hope than that.
Though. Yeah, they're odd birds, but they seem like birds of a feather to me. That's why I'm going Rose for the moment. That look that he gave when they were first leaving Paradise, that was pretty damning, and that to me is still kind of the meme that or the gift that sums up their relationship.
Yeah, a little dead in the eyes.
But it seems like it's trending in the right way. Up next, we've got Michael and Danielle. Zach, Ring Rose or Road?
I weirdly am going to give credit where credit's due. I was really hard on Michael last half of the season because of how the switcheroo happened, how much interference he had benefiting him in that relationship. But to what you're saying, Wally, they looked happy when they were there, right? They looked pretty genuinely happy. And the fact that he has the kid involved, I kind of was casting dispersions that I think he was not taking it seriously and that he might be in it for the wrong reasons and all that. I think the fact that they're all hanging out and all that is a good sign. Also, the fact that they didn't say an L-bomb until last night, supposedly, is pretty crazy to me. The fact that maybe he has been playing it slower and a little bit more, I might just have been more of a cynical Nancy. And in the spirit of the holidays, I'm going to ungrinch my heart a little bit, make it grow a couple extra sizes and say that love can find a way. And I'm going the Rose with him.
Yeah, I was critical of him too during the season because the number of superstar calls he was getting was outrageous, and it was so blatant and annoying. And then there was a lot of controversy off the field with the PPE scam and things coming up in the news about him that made it seem like maybe he might be sort of a shady businessman. But the truth is, underneath all of that, he and Danielle actually played really solid ball once they were matched up together. What I thought they did really well was their pacing was great. They were very measured and very intelligent with the way they went about things, the words that they crafted and volleyed between one another. Zach, you mentioned how last night was the first time they said, "I love you" to each other. And that's the result of great poise and great pacing. They did a really good job during the year of avoiding those three words and saying things like, "I could see this going very well for us. I could see this being a good thing." Things like that, where you assure the person without actually dropping an L-bomb.
I like you intensely.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
I think you guys, I can't believe this. You guys are nuts. This is a Road.
Wow.
This is a Road.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. My God. Big Bachelor.
That's what you saw last night?
Big Bachelor sat Michael down. He said, "What you did with Sierra, that's unacceptable. Your arc is you get married. That's it. You find one woman and you stay with that one woman. You do it again, I swear to God, motherfucker. You're done." There's look, he does not get divorced, okay? If it's not going well, he offs her.
Wow. These are some hardest versions
of
casting right
now. What part of Thanksgiving dinner is this?
This is the
part of things
is the crazy uncle.
This is the crazy uncle.
Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Going on
this is
a
the
rant.
Part I'm most familiar with.
Duddy's brandishing a spoon during this.
This is the crazy uncle threatening to drive home, even though he shouldn't.
In all seriousness, folks, I don't think Michael killed his wife. I don't know. But
thank you.
Who's to say? But
I just do my own research. Yeah, okay.
But I will say this.
Jeez Louise.
I feel like I didn't get enough evidence. I got a lot of platitudes. I got a lot of nice things. I think, we watched Victoria, completely pull the wool over our eyes on season. Michael said, "I love you," but it felt like he said it at gunpoint. I think he has, if we're Vegas, right? And you talk about, what an engagement is, right? What an engagement is, what a marriage is, and you're setting the betting odds, right? And that's, with all these people, if we're being really smart about it, with all these people, we have very limited information, right? We're just a bunch of schmucks going like, I think they'll get together, right? He has the hardest lift for an engagement out of everyone because he has a kid. She's signing on to an entire, like a real family. They can't walk away from that.
A kid who repeatedly falls asleep in her lap.
Yeah.
And says how much he loves her company.
Yes. That's right.
This is
so he's invested. I'm just telling you the odds, man.
The kid is lip-nicking in Jerry Maguire or in every Hallmark Christmas movie ever. The kid wants this.
Zach, did I buy you? Did I get you on the crazy uncle side? Because I feel like I'm speaking
sense. Absolutely not. No, not at all. Not even a little bit. Are you
Fuck
kidding
you
me?
Guys. All right. Give me the next one.
We'll throw you a bone, DA, and let you talk about Victoria Fuller and Greg Grippo, who are walking out of this as a couple.
That
are they playing for the ring, the rose, or the, no- or the road?
Straight to the moon, baby. They're getting super married. They're.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. Oh,
no, 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 no. Oh, my God. If there's okay. if there's one definitive kiss of death in dating history, in life, it's getting matching tattoos yeah. when you go to Italy. That's on the first yeah. date. If that doesn't spell the end of a relationship, I don't know what does.
I thought you were going to say, like, being the byproduct of an affair. And then you're like, no, 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 matching tattoos. That's it.
I think that's worse.
Not
but
the
yeah,
fact that
that's
you're a
awesome. Goomba. Honestly, yeah, I feel like byproduct of affair, I would run the numbers on this, but I actually think that that probably, a lot of times, I feel like it actually goes in the couple's favor. I've seen a lot of those work
really?
Out. I have no idea what the numbers are, but I believe, I feel like because you, mm-hmm. like, it gives you a little bit of a spice, you know? And it's like, well, we left a thing, sure. we invested, you know what I mean? We broke
right,
someone's
we were
heart for this.
Happiness. Yeah.
So that I'd give her in corner.
Yeah, we sacrificed
in her
something.
Corner. But no, I mean, she fucking has Yeesh. The tattoo.
Yeah, it's rough.
Am I mean, wrong? She...
What do you think they're going to... No, you're not wrong on that one. What do you think they're going to change the tattoos into? Or are they going to remove
God,
it?
They don't have a lot of options yeah. with CIAO.
Yeah. They really fucked up how many consonants are in that.
Bucket. I guess maybe if it goes south, you like... combine the I and the A and do an E somehow and say like you're the CEO of your life or something. I don't know. I'm
very
just...
good.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah, I feel like you just have to put a butterfly over that bad boy.
Yeah, she says that she doesn't care what anyone thinks about how this came together or the fact that they're together. That better be true because this is starting out on an ugly foot and there's going to be some backlash with it. And when things mm-hmm. start out that ugly in Bachelor Nation, it can be really tough to get any sort of traction. And so that's the...
Yeah, I mean, people have fallen off. Like, they act like their followings and stuff are invincible once they get to a certain level in this game. And we've seen it before. Like, you can disappear. You know what yeah. I mean? You can be sort of semi-disappeared, you know, and no one cares how you feel about whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's a good chance that if she keeps playing the villain card off field and off camera, that her follower count goes down enough that like she's going to find herself a job, you know? She's going to have to call Logan up and be like, hey, do you have any PA work I can do, you know?
Well, finally, we got the most dominant couple that we've ever seen on Paradise, Brandon and Serene, basically went undefeated as a couple this season. What do you guys think? Ring, Rose, or Road? Are they keeping this going?
Road. Something about Brendan. I like Brendan. I've always thought he's a perfect sweet boy offense player. Can't kickflip for the life of them, but the guy wears his heart on his sleeve to the point where it turned into, in these last two episodes, for me, the sweet boy doth protest too much. I think he doesn't... The level of hyperbole he was throwing at Serene in terms of how he felt and what emotions he was going through his body, either something's wrong, I'm an asshole, Zach Bike is an asshole, or this guy doesn't know what love is. Like, he just doesn't know the feelings that his body was feeling, and he's a very young, like, he was acting like how you do when you're 13 and you break up with your first girl, like, you find your first love, right? It felt like a first love thing to me, where it's like, oh, this guy doesn't even know, there's no barometer for him, like, what this feeling should be, so he thinks that this is it.
Wow. Zach.
To me.
You're an asshole. Yeah. Okay. That's what it is. The three options you presented.
You think so? I just can't believe true love. I just can't see it. I can't. I don't believe in it. This one, at least. I believe that it exists. I don't think this is
this
it.
This is exactly how he was
I think
with
the
Michelle.
Camera, I know.
I think that's just the speed he runs.
The vibe he is.
Yeah.
In,
Zach,
huh?
I think you're the four times divorced aunt at the Thanksgiving table.
All right. Yeah. All right. Whatever. Yeah. That's fine.
Because I saw two players who were completely in control. I thought sure. their craftsmanship was incredible. When Brandon is professing his love and then he called her Senorita and then he said, you know, I like to make you laugh like that because it's the greatest thing in the world when I see you laugh. When he said that, I was like, mm-hmm. damn, this guy is, his handle is unbelievable.
It all feels rehearsed to me.
What do you
it all feels like he's doing a character.
DA, I'll give you the last word on Brandon and Serene.
If he's doing a character, then I'm seeing that show because damn, is it a good one.
Yeah, I agree with that. It seems like they're definitely playing for the ring, just like our fans who always are. Thank you so much for tuning in every week. Thanks for checking us out this whole season. We've been doing this since January, basically without much off time in between. And it's been a great year. We're still having so much fun, and we love bringing the show every week. Thanks so much for supporting us, checking us out on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Anywhere you get your podcasts, we're there waiting for you. Join anytime. Keep telling your friends about us. Keep helping us spread the word with ratings and reviews. All of it helps us become a better show, get higher up in that that algorithm that can be so tough to break through. But we are, thanks to you, and we love you for it. Special thanks to our fans over on Patreon. That's where we get all our exclusive bonus content, including Left Unsaid, where we get into all the hot topics that we don't get a chance to discuss on the main feed. We're not going to be doing one tonight with Thanksgiving, but we'll get back at it early next week. We'll bring you the Batchy Awards and some of our closing thoughts on this season. So that's all happening on patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. Always love hearing your takes on social media, on Instagram or on Twitter. Twitter, for now, that might not be true forever, because that particular app seems like it's in a lot of trouble. But TikTok as well, we're definitely there, and that is at BachelorZonePod. By email, we are thebachelorzonepodcast@gmail.com. And finally, the moment you've all been waiting for, the final top five of the Batch Live app, our fantasy league. Number five, we've got Baby Back Batch with 4695 points. Number four, Knitting Beck with 4710. Number three, our friend of the show, Wicked Witch of the Northeast, with 4820. Number two, another friend of the show, Dahlia Hawthorne, with she eclipsed 5,000 with 5175. They had incredible seasons, but they couldn't quite catch another dear friend of the show, E-Box, with another dominant run, 5545 points, taking home another title on the Batch Live app.
Wow. All
right. Unbelievable.
So what is this, like a... This is like a Lakers dynasty? Like, what's happening?
It's a trinity.
We're looking at, I was thinking like 90 Chicago Bulls. That's what we're seeing here. Yeah,
it's a three-timers club.
All right, so
crazy.
Well, the Lakers could work too, but I'm a Celtics fan. I could never acknowledge that on the show.
It's definitely winning time right now.
is it like the type of thing? So clothes is interesting because it's like, you know, like how many shirts could a person possibly want? You know, like with rings, like you get...
Yeah, I think she's starting to donate it to charity. It's kind of like a Jeopardy, like a Celebrity Jeopardy situation now. She's just like, oh, whatever. It was like Jay Leno only using it tonight, not using it tonight.
I think we should give Dahlia Hawthorne a shirt. One, because I know E-Box is cheating. Two.
Not true. Not
wow.
True.
Because
wow.
I think you eclipse 5,000, you know, in that way. I think that that's worth something. And E-Box, maybe what we do is... we get her something else. Or maybe we put it to her and ask if she wants.
I mean, we can't. That's we have to provide what we.
No. Like we, you know, we could say we'll get a shirt, maybe a hoodie or something, or like, you know.
Sure. Yeah, we'll see. We'll work it out.
We'll work it out.
We'll work it out on Left Unsaid. You'll hear our strategy about what
Christmas. Yeah, okay. And we're gonna take a little holiday break after this. Yeah, I mean, well, the season's finally over and we're gonna have some time off in the regular feed, but in the bonus episodes we'll keep things rolling, watch a movie. We'll probably watch some Christmas movies or something.
You know what I've never seen? We'll have some Office Space time.
really
Let's see
how
Office
did that
Space.
Happen
we'll do that. I don't know,
oh my god,
but I'd like to watch it.
It's wild. Yeah, well, look forward
to
that.
I just, like, lost a little respect for you episode. I think
wow.
how have you not seen that? It's a classic, man.
You don't have to do that, man.
Well, we'll do, maybe some, like, DVD commentary for Christmas movies or actually maybe Office Space. Now you must see it, and I want to be there when you do.
All right.
Yeah, we got to talk our actual dishes, too. We got a lot coming up. A
lot over there on patreon.com/TheBachelorZone for the rest of the year. If we won't see you on Patreon, happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, happy New Year. Can't wait to see you in the new year. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally, and this is The Bachelor Zone.